For this episode, we're going to get into it.
Uh-oh.
This is a big one, guys. I do not have a passion for cooking. Surprise!
I didn't know that.
You did know that. So, you know when you're at your job and you go home and you can talk about your horrible coworker to your spouse, right? We can't really do that.
No, ma'am. Gosh, I think she's fixing to give her 2 weeks' notice again. Howdy, my name is Kent Rawlings. I've been a cowboy and a chuck wagon cook for over 30 years, cooking for ranches all across America. You might have seen me on the Food Network or alongside my beautiful wife, Shannon, on our YouTube show, where we share cowboy cooking from the trail. But now we're going to take you behind the scenes to real campfire conversations. Join us as we share humor, cowboy wisdom, and stories full of history, heart, faith, and of course, a little fire. So grab you a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and welcome to the podcast. Hey, we thank y'all so much for joining us. And it may look a little different today, but I decided I'd wear a short sleeve shirt and a cap.
Don't be fooled. This still is Cowboy Kent.
I'm looking suave and debonair.
Yes.
But we thank y'all so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us. And we had such a great response from our Cowboy Really Coffee episode. Why do people drink coffee? You know, there were so many comments. And I told them in that episode, I said, you know, to make the best coffee ever, you got to have the best water. You know, that's all the difference in the world, the water. And this lady commented and she said, oh, that's so true with coffee, but also with your hummingbird feeders. She said she was just using her regular tap water and then she got to buying bottled water, you know, distilled and pouring it in there. And she said she had more hummingbirds than ever. So if you will make good coffee with good water, all the neighbors will come over and have coffee.
And the hummingbirds.
Yes.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah, I mean, pancakes and sausage are sweet. Hummingbirds like them too.
Huh. I don't know. Well, so for this episode, we're going to get into it.
Uh-oh.
This is a big one, guys. So, you know, when you're at your job and you're maybe having a tough day and you go home and you can talk about your horrible coworker to your spouse, right? We can't really do that.
No, ma'am. You can't, when the job is over, you can't go in there and sit down at the kitchen table and say, boy, there's this lady at work today and she drove me crazy. You can't say that.
No, but we have just celebrated 15 years.
Yes.
So we thought, hey, let's recap. We're going to go back. We're going to talk about the things that we've learned over 15 years, not only of marriage, but also working together. The highs, the lows, what we've learned, and maybe give a little wisdom of the things that have gone on over 15 wonderful years.
First of all, we're not marriage counselors and we're not an expert.
Yes. Can we just disclaimer this?
There was an old man told me on a ranch one time, he said, everybody uses that word expert.
Please see professional advice.
You know what expert is?
What?
An ex, E-X,
yeah,
is something that used to be.
Oh.
And a spurt is just a little spit.
Oh.
So I'm just going to be regular old me.
Let me get right into it and ask you a question.
All right.
Should spouses work together?
This is a loaded question, folks. I guarantee you it is.
Remember, you're sitting next to your spouse and your coworker.
That's a really hard question. It is. It works for us because I think it's something that we both have in our hearts that we want to do. If you're a married couple or you want to work together, is what you're working on a goal for both of you? Or is it one have more influence than the other? Is one going to be packing more load than the other? You got to figure all them things out. If it's not in your heart, you haven't prayed about it together, and you don't think it's a great fit, I would say one of you might ought to go get an 8-to-5 job and the other stay at home cook.
That is a good point. I think you do have to have equal passion for it.
Oh, yes.
Because the more you get into it, that will come through more and more.
Yep.
What was interesting is during COVID, of course, everybody's shut down, everybody's at home, and we had a lot of people writing to us like, oh, this is really hard. Our house got so small. I'm with my husband all the time. He's driving me crazy. And ironically, we did not have that.
No, and I'm glad we didn't.
We were already together 24/7 before COVID even hit. So we didn't really feel that. But I'm not saying this to say like, hey, if you aren't with your spouse 24/7 and it isn't just wonderful all the time, you have a bad marriage. That is absolutely not the case. I think it's just very personal and specific to each marriage individually, yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's like hooking up a team to the wagon. Everybody's got to pull their load and they got to go down the same trail and know where they're going. You can't mm-hmm. say, well, you know, we're going to do a fishing episode. And your wife say, well, I don't like to fish. Say, well, we'll use you for bait. You know, it's got to be a passion.
Yeah. So let's just start kind of go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Like, how did this start for us? Because it didn't start off intentionally as like a business strategy for us, I don't think, right?
No. It started off with someone falling in love with someone. Oh. And you were the easiest person I've ever fell in love with in my life.
Can you say that 15 years later?
I still can. I say it every day. When I get up, folks, every morning, I say, thank you, God, for letting me wake up beside a beautiful woman. The dogs don't bite and the firewood's dry. You know, I'm blessed more than I ever deserve. But I think when it first started out,
I was jobless.
Yes.
That was a bit, you know, really, I think the working together started out of necessity, really.
Yeah.
Because I was in between jobs. My job was horrible. I was living in Denver. I had worked with a company that was going bankrupt. They weren't paying us. I didn't know what to do. And you said like, hey, well, it was coming in on summertime.
Yeah, June.
And you said, well, you know, catering kind of picks up during this time, people doing weddings or barbecue, family get-togethers. You can come down and help me until you figure out what you're doing with your life.
Yeah, I didn't even charge no rent, you know.
No.
But
it was free labor.
Well, yeah, but it was a skill, too, that I was teaching.
That's true.
You know, I've been doing this for a long time before you come along.
Yeah.
And I knew just in the times that I'd met you and been around you, and I'd already fell in love with you, that you were a worker. You had a passion in you to always want to do better every day. And I think it takes that from both sides. But there was so much we had in common. People might not have realized it. Like I say, you didn't have a job. I needed some help, but also I needed a support system. I needed that love. I needed that trust. I needed someone that was a partner that would work beside me day in, day out, and always go.
Well, so at that point, you didn't really have help.
No.
You did most deals by yourself, yeah. Especially like the ranch cooking, you did all yourself. Events, gosh, maybe even up to like 100 people sometimes, yeah. You were doing by yourself. You found like different tricks to do that. And so, but you were wanting help, but I think more than that, you wanted companionship because cooking by yourself gets lonely.
Yeah, and especially all that driving too.
Yeah.
You know, you spend a lot of time on the road. It's not just one of them deals where somebody say, hey, I want you to come and cook for 100 people. And you just go there that day and then you go home. There's stuff you have to do to get ready to prepare for that. Then you go over there, you unload, you set everything up, then you load back up, and then you drive back home. And it's good to have a co-pilot.
So we started this off not necessarily thinking like, oh, okay, we have this business plan.
I don't know if we even had a plan.
We did not have a plan at all. I think our plan was just like get money in the
survive.
Bank. Survive. We were in survival mode. And I know a lot of you know exactly what we're talking about. You may even be in that moment right now where you just have your head down and you're just going, the phone rings, you pick it up and you take the job. And we were taking every job we could. Yeah. We were driving a ton. And for me, it was fine because this was all new to me.
Yeah.
So it was new and exciting and I didn't mind the drive. And it's hard. Like you're packing up all this stuff. Everything we own is hot and heavy. Bertha, our wood stove, like, and you're hauling this wagon behind you everywhere. At that point, like, were you burnt out at that point?
No, there was a time before you come along that all I knew was work.
Yes.
You know, 18, 19-hour days. And I took every job, even if I could just clear $50, mm-hmm. you know, to try to make a living, to get by. But when you came along and we were together, It was like getting plugged into the recharge system. I had someone there beside me. Someone who shared, I think, we might have had a dream of what this become. I don't think we had any kind of business plan at the time. It was just, let's go do this. Let's make it better. But you always had this, I think, in your mind. What can we do that can make this better and easier?
Yeah.
And she told me one time, and it hurt my feelings really bad. She said, you got to work smarter, not harder. And that was really hard for me to figure out, coming from a place to where you never turned down a job. Mm-hmm. You worked 19 hours a day. I didn't know there were shortcuts, you know. And if you can find that business partner that can not only help you with the job you're doing, but mentally get in your head and say, hey, let's try this. No one had told me or been beside me to say, hey, I think we could do this and do better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would just go and think, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get paid. I'm going to go to the next one.
Yeah, I think so. With your job at the time, it was all cooking. And it was just driving and cooking, whether it was on a ranch and working, you know, a few weeks during their spring and fall works, or you're doing catering for weddings, corporate events, birthday parties, things like that. That was exclusively the business.
Yeah.
And for a while when I came on, we still did that because I had to learn how to cook.
Yeah.
Not only that, I had to learn how to cook outdoors, no electricity, no running water.
We had that when it rained.
Yeah. And figuring out how to control a Dutch oven and coals and heat. So this was like a totally new experience for me. Do you remember, I want to stress this to you all.
Uh-oh.
There is a theme in our business, and it's kind of trial by fire. And you just figure things out as they're thrown at you. And my first catering job, do you remember this?
Yes.
Why don't you tell the folks listening my first catering job?
Well, we'd been together about a month and a half.
Physically together?
Yeah.
Like that I had come down and I was working on the wagon. Okay.
And I got these people call me from up around, right north Oklahoma City. And they said, hey, we're having a big family reunion, 4th of July celebration, Kent. You used to cook for us all the time. I need you to come back up there and cook. There'd be about 200 of us. And I said, ain't no problem. Got her done. You know, I got help now. So
let's put that in quotes, help.
So there's two things that she had never done at this time. One was feed that many people.
Yeah.
And two, work in 100 degree temperature with the humidity that's like 75%. So,
or really cook in a Dutch oven to that extent. Yeah. I had done it a little bit, but not like that.
So I thought, we'll see what this lady is made of. I know she can do it. So we set the wagon up, got everything going, and I said, here's what we're going to do. I got the beans on. I said, I'm going to cook the steak, and I'm going to make the dessert. You're going to be in charge of cooking bread. I know you know how. You come to cooking school. I've seen you do it. I said, you're going to cook 6 16s full of bread.
Now, when he says 6 16s, that's a 16-inch Dutch oven. That's the diameter.
Yeah.
16 inches of the diameter. These things are massive.
They weigh about 50 pounds empty.
Empty. 40. Then yeah. You get food in them.
Yeah. And she said, you're going to help me, right? I said, uh-huh.
This is Kent's key teaching style.
Yeah.
It's like he just throws you to the wolves, and it's a sink or swim kind of situation, yeah, which is a good style.
But you knew how.
Yeah, I knew the basics.
And I told her, I said, it's all about coal placement and heat management. I said, but one thing we don't do here, really there's two. We're not going to be late, and we're not going to burn the bread. Pressure's on you. And I told her, I said, you can start cooking the bread a little before I throw all these 200 steaks on the grill. You know, and it was miserable, stinking hot. Wasn't a dry piece of clothing on you nowhere. You just sweat it out. And I'd look over there, and she'd be picking these 16-inch Dutch ovens up with a lid lifter.
And I had to straddle these things because I'm 5'1".
What?
I'm a solid 5'1". And people who argue against that, you're liars because I'm 5'1". And I'm straddling these things. So I'm already like low to the ground. I have short legs. I'm trying to open these things up. It was a mess.
But she cooked them 16-inch ovens full of bread, every one of them, to perfection. No burnt biscuit.
Really? I don't remember. I blacked out at a certain point. I don't remember.
And I told her, I said, we'll serve the crowd. cool off a minute, clean up, load up, drive home. So everybody eating is telling us what a great meal it was. And I went to go cleaning up. And I was looking around for my help. And my help had abandoned ship. My first thought was, she's turned in her 2 weeks' notice right now, and she's done left to go back to Elko, Nevada.
I found out there was an open bar.
And I go up, I get all the stuff done, and I go up there to this house, and there she is visiting with these people sitting at the bar in the air conditioner.
It was the best place.
Yeah. And I told her, I said, you all right? She said, I just had to cool off a minute.
Yeah.
Because it's something that'll wear you down, folks. It really will. And when you're going through it and you're looking at it and you think, everybody thinks, hey, this is the best food in the world. This is so good. There's a lot of stress on you, really, to get it on time, make sure it's the greatest thing they ever eat. But also, the fatigue you get just from the factor of that heat will wear you out.
I want to say recharge is extremely important in a marriage, and particularly when you're working with your spouse. And I will confess, we right now at this season in our life, we are extremely bad about recharging.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. We don't ever get to plug in no more.
No. Unplug.
I know. We need to plug up to the charger.
Yeah. Recharge. Because, and this happens. You just get going and everything's happening so fast. And right now, we are not taking time to unplug, walk away from work a little bit. And even if you aren't married to your coworker, if you work at home, you understand this because it's really hard to remove yourself because you live at home, you work at home. It can just flow together really easily. And so the lines get blurred. And before you know it, you don't know how to stop.
Yeah, you get consumed by it all, especially if you're like self-employed and at home. It's not 8 to 5 ever.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up in the morning, you go make some coffee, and the first thing on your mind is what video comes out today. We're going to record a podcast today. We got to do Instagram, got to do Facebook. And you don't get to shut it off.
Yeah.
I think we need a time clock. We just punch in, punch out.
I think that would be good.
But I remember when we loaded that wagon and we headed back from Oklahoma City, driving right down there towards north of Wichita Falls, I looked at her and I said, I'm very proud of you. I knew you could do it. She said,
I quit.
She said, it was harder than I thought, and it was hotter than I thought it would ever be.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't the hottest days we've had by far. No. You know, we've cooked in worse. But there's something about this lady. Y'all may not have seen her behind the camera, but when that camera's off, it's the same. For at the wagon, she's the greatest cook, hardest working woman I've ever known in my life, and I'm blessed more than I ever deserve to be married and work with my best friend. So happy anniversary, and I love you. That's all the gift you're getting.
You know, when we were talking about the roles that we had, so at the beginning, it was just all cooking,
yeah,
right? And so, and it was interesting. Different because, you know, for you to have been cooking by yourself, and you know, when you do that, you have your way of doing things, you want things a certain way, you know how it all works. And you let me come in pretty easily and kind of take over certain roles.
Yeah, you kept threatening to leave, you know.
Well, because... So you had said for the cooking portion, I kind of took over the baking.
Yeah.
So I did the breads and desserts, sometimes sides, and then you tend to handle more the main courses, meats, proteins, whatever. And we got into a rhythm.
Yeah.
Right?
We knew there was no wasted motion. We both knew what we were doing at the time. There was never any hesitation in either one of us to think, oh, I can go help him do that or I'll help her do that. It was smooth. It was like good gravy. I mean, it was smooth as silk it was. And you get that not only by working hard, but trust.
Yeah.
You got to have that trust in your partner that they're not going to let you down. They're going to do all they're going to do. They're going to do their part and part of yours too, if you need be. I always told folks, I've never in my life had a person that I could walk away from the wagon and think it'll be run better than I could run it. And that's you. Because I've had a lot of help come and go through the years. But I think when you can figure it out in life that there's, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to do it. But don't think that you got to do it by yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to have that partner. You got to have that person. If it's not your spouse, it's a coworker, someone else. You have that faith. You have that belief that they're going to do their job. And if you need help, they'll help you with theirs too. I think there's a lot of people out there today that I'm going to do my job. I ain't worried about his job.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll go a lot further in life if you can help somebody out.
You had mentioned you both have to have passion.
Yes.
And I think that is critical because that's going to determine success and longevity.
Yes.
And this goes for a marriage, a working marriage, or even like coworkers in your business or where you're working. And if you don't have passion, you've got to adjust. And if you're the manager, you've got to adjust and figure out what the passion is of the person you're working with or your spouse. And I don't know if this was intentional or if this just happened out of survival, but I do not have a passion for cooking.
Whoa.
Surprise.
I didn't know that.
You did know that. At the beginning, it was okay because it was new and it was like out of necessity and I'm doing these different things. But as the years went on, cooking is not my passion. But how did I change this business to where I could have a passion for it? And that was through the marketing and producing side of it. So what started off as just simple cooking for ranches and events then evolved into a much bigger brand that we have now, which is a lot of social media production. And like I said, I don't know if that was intentional or if I just found a hole or I found a different way of approaching our business. And I thought, hey, if we do this, we can have a larger impact. You loved being on camera and sharing cooking. So that's when it started to evolve. And that's where I started to find my passion. Because if I hadn't, this wouldn't have worked. Because you would have been passionate about cooking and I would have been resentful eventually, I think, right?
Oh my gosh. I think she's fixing to give her 2 weeks' notice again.
No, but that's important.
All this time, I thought I was doing a really good job.
You are doing a good job. You are doing a great cooking job. But that wasn't my thing. Like, and I do, I will say, I do like cooking on the wagon. Like when we're doing ranch cooking and I can tune out, I don't have to worry about production. I don't have to worry about taking pictures or doing all these other behind the scenes things. If I can just bake and cook, I enjoy that. And it's low stress. It's not like cooking for a lot of people.
No.
But anyway, so I'm just saying that to give a little insight to people. If you're in a position that you're not passionate about, find the loophole. Think out of the side of the box a little bit. Because where we were, it looked like, well, this is just cooking. That's all we're going to do. But I found a way to pivot. And if you're in your job or your marriage and you're finding either you don't have the passion or somebody you're working with doesn't have the passion, help them pivot because there is a way.
Oh, yeah. You know, you start this out really like cooking was a seed that sprouted. Mm-hmm. And then when you're talking about finding these loopholes and everything else, it's like the different root system that you got to have. I mean, you put all your eggs in one basket. If you fall down, what happened? All eggs get broke, you know, so... It's very important to have that, I think, outsource in your mind of what other people might want to be or what other people might want to do. I had no desire to be an editor, a producer, you know. I love to write. I love to cook. And you blended this whole thing around in like a giant, giant circle. It started out as a little ray of sunshine. and just kept growing and growing and growing. And that's what it takes if you're going to succeed in life. My daddy used to tell me this. If you're going to be a cowboy, you better know how to do 28 other things, because you're going to starve to death if you don't. Mm-hmm. Like she said, be able to pivot. Be able to do something else. It might be out of your comfort zone for a little while, mm-hmm. but go for it.
Let's go back to the part about burnout because or unplugging.
Yes.
Because I think that's really important, especially for people who have their own business or work at home or are working with their spouse. We don't really have a rule like, okay, no work after this certain time, right?
No.
Do we turn it off?
When your eyes shut, you know. And then sometimes you wake up thinking, oh, I didn't get this done, didn't do this, didn't do that.
Can you shut off your brain?
It takes a long time.
Does it?
Yeah. I mean, if we're on a ranch, mm-hmm. sure, you know. But if we're in the middle of production, whether it's for this new show, The Cast Iron Cowboy, or we're shooting a bunch of videos that week, you don't really turn it off. Mm-hmm. You might take the foot off the throttle and let it go from 70 down to 20, but it's still there, you know, and it's, I don't know. An old man told me one time, he said, well, I don't sleep much at night because I think about what I'm going to do tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And if I don't think about what I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm going to forget it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why you're supposed to have a pen and paper by your bedside.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. A little tip here.
Oh my
and
God.
You're supposed to write your stuff down because for me, and I think this is for a lot of people, I get really good ideas right before I'm going to sleep. Like your brain kind of settles and then all these great ideas come and you're supposed to write them down then because then in the morning you don't forget. But give me some solid advice. How do you turn it off?
Well, first I think you have to look at the day you had and say, thank you, God, for letting me have this opportunity to do this today. I hope that I made you proud. Mm. But also, you have to think about, I do, what could I have done to make it better? And that's where it always gets me. That's when I can't unplug. That's when it gets in the back of my brain and tells me, you could have done this, you could have done this, you could have done this. I think to truly unplug and turn it off, you got to have that sense of calmness first. A lot of times we'll go sit on the porch before dark, or we'll sit in the backyard. Find a little bit of peace to let your mind relax.
And you have to make yourself do that.
Yeah.
Almost.
You can't just think, well, I'm just going to go out here and turn it off. You know,
I've set alarms before, like on my phone, like, okay, every, you know, half hour, stop, take a breath, yeah. Get away from the computer or whatever.
It's one of them deals that to me, if we didn't take that time every night, just to really an unwind deal. Mm-hmm. Talk about maybe what might happen, laugh at the dogs, but mostly just to sit and just try to find that little bit of peace in the busy world. And then it's easier for me to go to sleep at night. What about you?
Well, I heard, this is funny, I just heard this the other day, and it was so insanely simple, but it just kind of rewired my brain a little bit. And it was just, do your best and give God the rest. And that really, I don't know why that just hit me so hard. Because like, you always are like trying, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you know, you're just, it's always the next thing and going and what do I do and staying ahead of the curve. And all you have to do is just like, you know what? I did the best I could do today. I didn't overextend myself. I didn't stress too much. And then I'm just going to let go. And whatever's going to happen, God's going to take care of it.
He's got a plan.
I go through these things where I try to find like all these different things or, you know, working plans or ways to channel out your day or all these different like business tips. And sometimes it's just the simple stuff of just like, let it go. That's, I think, going to be maybe the most helpful.
Yeah. Life is simple. People just try to complicate it too much.
It's a little different for us because not only are we work together and a lot of people do, maybe you have like, you know, a plumbing business or a roofing business or whatever it is with you and your spouse, which is great. I think it creates a more intense bond and a real sense of like having to figure things out and work together. In our situation, it's a little different because we are also on camera and our business is public.
Yeah.
What do you think the challenges are with that?
Well, first of all, I want to start by saying what a producer told me a long time ago.
What, from like one of the
Chop Grill Masters?
Oh, okay.
And there's camera on you all the time, three or four of them. And this lady come over and she said, you know, you're the only person I think I've ever been around in my life that didn't change when the camera was on. I said, man, I ain't changed socks in a week. I ain't going to change people, you know. But there's not a lot of difference in when the camera's on and the camera's off as to my attitude and what I see in life. But there is, I can be like wore smooth out.
Yeah.
I mean, beat down, burnt up, don't want to cook at all.
Yeah.
And Shannon and me will talk and say, we got to shoot this video today. And act like you enjoy it.
Act like you're having fun, which was really hard too when we were cooking before we moved to New Mexico, when we were in Oklahoma and cooking when it started getting hotter, which now feels like it's like 9 months out of the year. You would be sweat. I mean, it's like 100 degrees before we even start the fire. Yeah. And you're cooking and you're like sweating in your food and you're melting. And I'm like, look happy. Look like you're enjoying this.
But it's, I think that's one of the things that really resonates with our people that watch us is we don't change.
Yeah.
If they meet us in public, I get so many comments. Well, you're the same person I met at Walmart that you are on your cooking show.
Yeah.
You know?
The people are the same, but the situations.
It's different.
So, I mean, completely candid, there are times I want to wring your neck before I push record on the camera. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. But that's normal.
Like, well, I'd like to know.
We don't have time for it in this episode. But social media really gets in your head because you see these couples or these moms or all these people and like everything's great and their house is clean and they've packed these lunch kits for these kids that's like all organized and their closet is organized by alphabet and color. And you're thinking, God, my life, I do not have it together. So just because like you're on camera and everything's great doesn't mean I just didn't scream at you before. I didn't scream at you, but I'm like super frustrated before I hit record.
I mean,
right?
They don't see it, but I've seen you throw stuff at
That's
me,
not
you know,
true.
Skillets, Dutch ovens.
That is
know.
Not true.
It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
You know, but when that camera comes on, it's not fake.
No, that's what
It's real.
But there are
differences and discrepancies.
Yes, absolutely. Like, so get like what's an example?
Well, that's not what you had written in the recipe. And
yes.
I'll say, well, I changed my mind right now.
I know. And I was like, well, why did you decide to cook that before and not this other thing? Well, just because I wanted to. I'm like, but it's in the recipe. Because I'm very like, I have to produce. So,
well, there's a lot of times, too, when I have a recipe that's written down and I'm actually cooking something and I'm thinking, no.
That's not going to work. Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, should I just went with that so it'd flow better? No. I trust my gut. I want y'all to trust y'all's, too. If you're doing something in life and you think, no, that don't fit.
It's hard too, because cooking is very fluid and it's artistic, you know? And so like, but, and you
it's
know this,
flow.
Yeah, but you know this, especially when we've been filming the Cast Iron Cowboy on the Outdoor Channel, and that is highly produced. That's a TV show. So I'm not doing it. And it's even more produced. We're like, no, stop, retake this. No, stir this. And that's hard.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
It took me a long time to not want to just choke them, you know?
What about me? What about me as your producer?
No, because, you know, I know rats a check, you know. it's totally different, really, camera on, as far as what takes place during a video, cooking, the times. Wait a minute. Don't move that. I need to shoot that. What? Put it back over here so it'll look like it did before you started, you know.
Yeah.
And for a long time, it really bothered me because I'm thinking, no, this is where I've cooked all my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to change. But you have to change. You have to.
Yeah.
If you don't change in life, you're going to get run over by it.
And that goes absolutely for a marriage.
Oh, yes. You got to learn to adapt and overcome.
What's one thing?
And wear a helmet when she's throwing stuff.
Not true. What's, like, give me either one or a couple examples of things in our marriage specifically, not necessarily working together, that you've had to adapt to about me. I know, it's so hard.
We ain't got time for all of them. I mean, this is... You may get the list out. I wrote a list. It's 38 questions.
There we go.
I think the biggest thing that I had to adapt to was, I mean, I cleaned my own house for years. I washed my own clothes for years. I did everything. That's the way my mother taught me, you know. And I do laundry. Shannon does laundry. But when we were first together, I cooked for her three meals a day, didn't I?
Yeah, where's this going? Her.
I did laundry. I'll tell you, folks, when you take a long sleeve shirt off.
Oh, my gosh.
And you just pull it, you know, out like this. The sleeves is inside out. And then you just throw them in the dirty clothes. I don't know why you can do that when you could just take them off right. You unbutton them.
So, arm out of the sleeve. I just want to clarify. Here so your biggest adaptation in our marriage is that I don't turn your shirts inside
no,
out
it's just
correctly
one
when
of
I
the
wash.
Things. I was just picking one out of the random batch of 3,000. You know, would you rephrase the question?
Do you mean rephrase or do you want me to retract the question?
No, that's all right.
Honestly, like you're pretty easygoing.
Oh.
I don't think I've never felt like any of my little quirks have bothered you really other than like comedically. Okay. The laundry or whatever.
The snoring at night is pretty bad.
Snore. But, that's the dogs.
And hygiene, you know. I think when we first started cooking on ranches and she thought, hey, this is really good. You ain't got to take a bath for 3 weeks, you know.
Right,
and then when it got
lies.
Home, you know. But no, I don't think there was anything in there that I had to adapt to that I thought, oh my gosh, she does this or she wants this or she needs this. I'm going to tell you, folks, she is not a person that she wants something she doesn't have monetarily. I admired her so much when we'd go shopping when we were first together. Go in a store and you could be in and out in 5 minutes, you know, because she knew what she was looking for. I knew what I was looking for. I think if maybe through the years, the bed has got a lot more crowded.
With pups?
Three dogs in a bed. And if you ain't there on time, you don't get a spot.
You lose your spot.
Yeah. What about me? Was there something about me that you think... Oh my gosh.
Not like, oh my gosh. I think I don't want to say stubbornness, but
shocked.
I think maybe that was just one thing that I've learned and I'm still learning how to kind of approach that or understand that.
My stubbornness?
Just stubbornness. Like you're just very, like if something, like you're just kind of set in your ways. Like if something is, you're very black and white about things. And like, so if somebody says something, that's it, you know, or if somebody does something or a great example is when we were talking about cooking and how you're like, if the phone rings, we pick it up and we do the job. And it was really hard for me to kind of open your eyes up to different ways to approach the business. Like, okay, we could drive 500 miles and feed this birthday party for 20 people, or we could make this video and hit 300,000 people.
Did you know I never went to a birthday in my life and fed 20 people? Might have fed 220.
Well, but you know, like smaller. Yeah. So I think just that would be one of the things.
Here, I thought I was doing such a good job.
You are. That's not like necessarily a bad thing.
This may be the last podcast I'm on. Be Cowboy Coffee-less Hour with Shannon.
We're hiring. Well, okay, so what do you think would be a lesson that we've had to learn the hard way, but we got through it?
Lesson we had to learn the hard way. There's a lot of things that are going to come along that are going to be really hard to get through. You know, to me, the one that we had to adapt and overcome so quickly that just sort of wore our world out was the loss of a beagle and the loss of a house in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like Shan said, you can't, I don't dwell on the things in the past that bring me heartache. I want to think of the things in the past that brought me joy. And you've all heard it said, and my mother used to tell me this every night before I went to bed. You can't go to bed angry.
And we have.
We have, yes. Because a lot of times she's told me, you just sleep on the porch. So, and she was angry, but I had more room out there. There was less dogs on the couch. But it's, anger is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes with being, I don't mean this in a bad way, having too much pride to admit that I was wrong.
Yep.
Or this didn't work.
Or like my way is the only way. Yeah.
Or I shouldn't have told her that, or I should have told her this. And it's not just for your spouse. It's with people you're around all your life.
Yeah.
You know? And it's hard. It really is. People asked me one time, said, well, you know, marriage is hard. I don't think marriage is hard in the way I look at like hard work. There's going to be hard times. Yes. But hey, it's the best day I ever had.
That's kind of, in my opinion, the worst advice is when people say, well, marriage is hard. I remember people would tell me that before we got married and thinking like, I understand that. I understand life is hard. I understand relationships are hard. I get it. I'm willing to work through that. But it's a different kind of hard. And I don't even really know how to explain it. It's just the things that happen in a marriage that you didn't expect that are different in how you would handle it or how the other person approached you in handling it. And you're like, wow, I did not see this coming. Yeah. This is a different level of hard. And I think maybe that's better advice. Like, it's going to be hard. You're not even going to know what hard is.
Yeah.
You can't even practice what you're going to get into. But what is it that gets you through it? Like, what is a successful marriage going to look like? Oh, here we go.
It just takes two.
Write it down, people.
I mean, and they're as simple as they can be. God and love.
I'm gonna contradict you there.
No.
I think God for sure. I think you have to have a higher, something bigger than yourselves and your marriage.
And I pray to God to bless our marriage, to let us find more happiness, more joy, more love.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't have one without the other. I don't think.
I think you definitely have to have love, but I think you have to have fight.
Well.
Like you have to be willing to fight for it and work hard.
Well.
Don't you think? See, you're.
I mean, I'm going to stand up and fight for what I love, what I believe in. That's God, you, country, family, you know, I'm all for it. But I think to have a successful marriage, and I'm not a marriage counselor. To me, can I just say it in my words?
Go for it.
Okay.
It's your podcast.
Well, no. I mean, after today, this is probably my last one. You know, you got to treat that person that you're married to, that she is the best thing that's ever going to come into your life. And you got to love her or him like it's the last day you got. And you got to put them first. You can't always say, I'll get to it, or maybe tomorrow, or next week. We ain't promised tomorrow. We don't know that we're going to have it. I'm going to love her today more than I loved her yesterday, and I'm going to ask God to give me a tomorrow so I can love her again.
But I will say, you can love and be frustrated at the same time, and that's okay, right?
Well, like, sort of like having chocolate cake without the icing.
I don't want to give this impression like, oh, every day is love and roses and everything.
No,
like, I love you every day, but I can also.
You want to choke me sometimes.
Right. And that's okay too.
Yeah. But let's don't put it as it's hard. Let's put it as it will challenge you.
Yes.
But if it doesn't challenge you, it will never change you. I've learned from mistakes. You know, I've learned from things that, hey, I ain't going to touch that, but one time, it's hot. But you learn about the person you're with, and you see what brings the simple joy in life. That's the greatest thing for me. It doesn't have to be a special day. It doesn't have to be a holiday. It doesn't have to be an anniversary. Take her out for supper. Buy her some flowers. Get her a card. Let her know that you are loved. You are appreciated. I think there's a lot of it, too. Love and appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know people that I know have loved each other very much, but I don't know if they really appreciated that person for what they did all the time.
Yeah.
And if you don't love and appreciate, what's the next thing that comes along? Depreciation.
Whoa.
Yes.
And do the laundry right.
Yes, ma'am.
That's my big takeaway here. Well, I'm just going to leave it on this question.
Ooh.
What's one thing about working together that you think has actually made our marriage better?
Trust.
I almost want to say, did we build trust at the wagon and working before we did in our like personal? I think maybe.
I think it was like 60-40 at least.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of trust that had to come about from it.
Yeah.
You know, the trust of you making that big move. The trust of us saying, hey, can we do this together? I mean, you'd write a hot check on Friday to get groceries to cook on Saturday and hope you could beat the check back on Monday.
Yep.
You know, it's trust. It really is.
Yeah.
And I trust you with all my heart and soul. I do. Well, you know, because I know, I always tell people this, when she come to cooking school and she took a bunch of pictures. Mm-hmm. And then she come back to cooking school and she took some more pictures. Says she gonna make a website. I didn't even have a computer. She come back again to cooking school and she still hadn't graduated. You know, this is three times now. And she had to let her graduate and then I married her and then she took over the entire business.
That was my business plan.
There you go.
Nailed that.
But I want to ask you this question.
Don't make it hard.
I won't. You know, to celebrate 15 years with you is a great thing. I hope the good Lord gives us 115 more, you know. But I have no regrets. I have nothing that I would like to say, oh my gosh, that's a bad day at Blackwater Draw there when that happened, you know. But you're going to go through all of this, whether you're working together or you work 30 miles apart. You're going to get that challenge. But that word we said at the last, trust. Trust in God, trust in each other, and trust yourselves enough to know, hey, if we got faith, we got love, we got trust, bring it on. We can get it.
What was
we
the
can
question?
Get it done. The question?
Yeah, you said you had a question for me and then.
Do you have any regrets?
Oh, no. I don't. Yeah. I think regretting is dangerous.
No.
And life is just what happens. And what are you going to do with what happened or the past to move forward? All so right. don't live in the regret.
Well, if you could tell that young couple or any couple that's fixing to get married next week, how do I survive this? How do I make this work? What would you do? Sum this up for me, sugar.
I mean, to wrap up everything in this, I think is to remember marriage is hard, but it's in a way that you don't even know what hard is yet, but you have to fight through it. You have to love, you have to have patience and appreciation for each other, and you have to have fight.
Well,
and keep it simple.
Yes, you heard it there, folks. Right there it is.
Well, I hope you were taking notes. I don't know if those notes were worth anything, but we hope that this gave you just a little bit of background into the business side, but also what the past 15 years have looked like for us. And we are so, so thankful that most of those years you have been with us. Yeah. A lot of you have, and we appreciate it so much that we've all been able to kind of go on this journey together. So that's really special for us.
Yes. Remember, as we always say, thank you so much. You're not fans, you are family. But it is with great pride, honor, and privilege that I tip my hat to all the servicemen and women and all the veterans that have kept that old flag flying no matter where we be. We lift you up in prayer daily and we commend you, we do. Chen, I love you so much. We love y'all. God bless you, each and every one. We'll see you down the podcast trail.
Pioneer.